Good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and welcome to the Comedy Hour. We've got a strange set of guests this evening. No different than other nights, but let's just say we're stretching it this evening. What we're doing is, so we're in this strange opportunity at the moment. And the opportunity is that many years ago, EJ composed, or a volume was composed, was put together, was gathered of a number of experiences that the active group at the time had, and they gathered together over 100 events, sayings, talks occurred with that group. When was this? In the early 80s, right?
Well, it was published in 1980. I think the
talks are from the 70s. They're not from the 80s.
So these are from the 70s and the period of groups, the different groups and different groups still going on there. The name of the volume, which is Volume 5 of The Secret Talks, is Work of Groups. And so it's not an academic text. And for my purposes, none of EJ's works are academic texts. For me, they've all been presentations of methodology. And all of us, so when we go through HBM, or we go through Practical Work on Self, Joy of Sacrifice even, it's behind it is a living experiential possibility. So we took the same approach with this volume here. Rather than talk of it as a text describing groups, it's just a text. Our job is to, we're going to try to find elements that are what is work of groups. What are the elements of a group? What do we find when we come together? What do we notice? Okay? That's the thing. So as we did before in the last volume that we worked with, which was Invocation of Presence, in that one, it was a focus on that method, and the it was in the very last chapter was summed up in a brilliant manner. You know, I wish this to be used to invoke the presence of my presence into the present. And that's a portable tool that we can carry with us. It's a portable work technology that we can use in any environment. And that has stuck with me so much that I now notice when I don't use it. And I had an event early this morning that that was the case. But, so how do we approach this? And one of the things that we came up with was, I don't know what the academic technology might be in studying what is a group. But let's just say that, I don't know who's on right now, Dan. Who are some of the people on? Put it into the phone.
Let's see. Yeah. Puka Puka, Tiffy, Silverdale, Piancho, Muscle Spark, and Bernie LaPlante, and Jeff Halt.
Okay, so these are individuals that have had, these are, there's a couple of names I don't know, but the people that you did mention are seasoned individuals that have been through a lot. And now all we're doing as a group is going to say, okay, let's turn our attention to what is groupness. We know we experience it. Let's turn our attention to it and glean from it elements. okay? So not knowing what to do, I said, in my opinion, that the first thing we were going to do is read the first 10 pages of this volume. That was the exercise. And the idea was to read it, and as you read it, to see what did you observe, and acting as an investigative reporter, note down elements that might be useful to the group. Okay? Now, I got a couple of emails back, and when I sent the email out, did I send it out last night or first thing in the morning?
First
thing in the morning. I composed it last night, and then I sat on it. I sent it out, and I got an email back saying, that's not how I remember the exercise. So one thing that we should do is come to some agreement as to whether we are going to do an exercise and what that is. We'll work together to have some clarity. We have several people here in the room today, and we'll come to agreement here and also online. Do you understand? But anyway, so one way or another, did anybody else have an understanding of what the exercise might have been for this that we should have been doing, and now here we are in our with our reporter's cap on? Ready?
David, I wrote down what you said at the time last week.
Okay.
I mean, you simply said, and first you started off, it says, well, read pages 1 through 10. I don't know anything about any reports, but just to be ready to discuss it. And then number two, write down what you found out and report to the group. I was not sure how you wished us to report.
Okay.
Pat said, and then what will happen when I read these pages? That's a question that we were to ask ourselves. And you find out what happens and what reverberates as an investigative reporter. And then she also said that we can respond in any way that we want, in words, song, poetry, music, etc. It's entirely up to us.
Yeah.
And then you said we step into the water and find out. And that's what I
Okay. Want. Thank you so much. Thank you, Harry. So the idea is, so what do you think? What do you want to do here?
Mark, Bride, agree to exercise every week, shared understanding.
So part of the
exercise.
Element of working in a group is to come to a shared understanding. And how do you do that? It's not that I think that I expressed it well. It's that it was received in the same manner, right?
Or not.
And then we adjust until
yeah.
we get there.
Yeah, and that's the process.
So there's a commonality of there's a sharing until the understanding is also shared. So it's a communication effort that we have to make. So let's say I share something like that, Pat, and people are nodding their head. And you go, yeah, okay, good. You think, am I done at that point?
No.
Oh. Because we should, I had to give a presentation Monday night. I'm on a particular board, and I had to give a presentation. I was convinced I was very clear. I was very clear. It was kind of a little bit of a complex financial thing. I gave it, and I thought, wow, I did a really good job. And people voted on it, and they agreed. They voted. They passed it. And then about 3 minutes later, somebody asked a question that was very obvious to me that they hadn't gotten it at all, even though they were willing to vote on it. So I knew at that point I had not succeeded. And so I went over it again. So it's hard to know whether the communication has been received. the one element, once again, is to ensure that the other got it. Go ahead.
The communication cycle stipulates that you must be able to understand and duplicate the communication in order to know that it has been received. Example, the American Book of the Dead, it indicates to be read aloud to the Voyager with a clear, slow cadence, not going past anything you don't understand. And if you make a mistake, you go back and correct it. This is the scale of communication, which is from don't know to duplicate. So if you don't know that you don't know, you have to rely on your group to bring it out so that you can get a chance to look at what you didn't know you weren't seeing. That's one of the major benefits of a group. We all see things differently, know things differently, understand things differently, and if we share them, we learn what we didn't know that we didn't know. And it's the only way. Because you can't tell yourself what you don't know. You have to allow someone else to help you know what you don't know. That wandered away, didn't it?
No, it didn't. It's very important. And it reminded me, many, many, many years ago, EJ designed in full, and he and Claude built Bardotown, the physical Bardotown. And what a job.
Which will be in the LRS shed this spring.
But this is the physical thing with the little mountains and the tier. And it was in Marvette, you know, what's this room back there? Remember how it used to be?
Yeah, I remember.
So that's now the W studio. But it used to be an enclosed room, but it was just big enough to put this Bardotown in.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it might have been out here for a while, too. But it was so small that it was hard to access. So there was like a little trap door in the middle of it.
Yep.
And there were things off, and I remember one day I happened to be in there, and EJ said this and that needs to be moved. So I went in and I crawled through this, and now I'm in the middle of the.
You have to crawl under the table.
You crawl under the table.
Yeah.
You come back up, and now you're kneeling on top of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was confusing. Where he goes, well, that needs to be moved just a little bit to the left. And then, I wasn't sure, his left, my left, the left of the thing. Mm-hmm. And then he got extremely precise, and he goes, move it a couple of inches west. Move it north a foot. This should go east. Mm-hmm. And that was a simple manner of clarifying mm-hmm. the communication, and I just remember how it was almost a telepathic. Mm-hmm. The movements became so fluid at that point. So our job is to learn to communicate. So that's a task of a group, I think, maybe, is to learn to communicate within the group for the sake of everyone.
Well, I've already named four. Sure. The first one that I stated was that the group has to have a common understanding of what is the assignment. Each week, it cannot be assumed from week to week that we know what it is that we need to do. We have to clarify each week. So, and a subsection of that is, as David pointed out, it's from sharing our understanding that we will get clarification about what is the assignment. Like, we got a clarification from Harry, and I'm sure we'll get some more clarifications. So that was the first thing, is the group must have an agreement about what the assignment is. Second thing that David mentioned, which I duplicated, was that communication is an essential tool of the group. So the development of group communication. And the third thing they said was, is that one of the purposes of a group is to know what you don't know. You can't know that by yourself. And there was a fourth, but I've lost it. It'll come back.
Yeah.
Thank you. Marvette's doing exactly what we need, which is checking to see if there's something that needs to be notated, which is the role of a scribe.
So it's possible that in the structure of a group, there might be objective posts as well. And we're going to just place that like on a sidebar for now and say that one of those posts might be the role of the scribe. Okay? The scribe might be in a physical format where it's actually physically writing, which has a particular tone that goes into the group energetic, or it might have other modalities as well. Like you were sharing earlier,
mm-hmm.
Communication could be in many forms. So, where are we, Ivan? How are we doing? Oh, Pat, are you ready?
Well, David, I just wanted to say that I like this example that you gave, you know, regarding giving a presentation and then having people vote. You know, like I would say that what we're driving at here is, in this group, I think that we should not vote unless we really have the understanding that everybody has shared the assignment or has shared the item, or that everybody has acknowledge that they understand or have gotten it. In other words, you know, the fact that that something's been communicated and even that it's been agreed to is not necessarily a guarantee that everybody in the group has gotten it or agreed to it. So we may need to come up with some processes for this group other than voting.
At least two decades ago, I started the practical work on self-class online. The method of doing it was provided by work that Claude did in a forum called, the program was called Pellis. And let's just say, compared to what's out there now, it was so simplistic, but it was very effective. And we would meet Sunday mornings, mid-morning, and we had people from Europe, many people on the East Coast, and so on. Claude's show, which is on Thursday, tomorrow evening, he'll be discussing the various things that he discusses, but that's another show that takes place in the evenings. As we weave together this work that we're all doing together. And in that, we came up with a methodology, and that was that we read the chapter, and we say, here's what I think the exercise is, and here's how I'm going to do that exercise. That took 2 weeks. So the first week we'd study the chapter and say, I think this is what it is, and then I am going to do it in this way. We didn't quite let people off the hook at that time, and they needed to respond. But we had some tough cookies then, and they were able to do it. So that's part of it. We'll get into that in a minute. And then the second week, you'd come back and you'd say, here's what I found out. Go ahead, Dan, please. Thank you.
So I just want to clarify. In the first week, of working, people will have already read the chapter, and that's where you get an understanding of, this is how I think you do the exercise, and this is how I plan to do it. Is that right?
So the first week, we will have read the chapter, let's take chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self, which is the pawn. So prior to the gathering, you would read the book, read the chapter, and then you'd come to the event, the gathering, you'd say, you know, I think it's this, I didn't understand this part, and da-da-da-da, discussion, and say, I think this is the exercise. And I am going to do it like this.
So individuals were able to choose the way they were going to do the exercise, but they didn't have to have agreement on what the exercise was or how they were going to do it.
No. They had agreement on what the exercise was. They exercised their free judgment on how they were going to do it. So, you know, it might be go out into public or something like that, and then the idea was, and then I'm going to go to the store, or I'm going to go swimming or something like, whatever it was, they would exercise it in their own unique manner but have a commonality of what the exercise was. So the course, it took a year.
So in the courses that I ran with the American Book of the Dead text, which was called the Transit Practitioner's Course or the Labyrinth Reader's Course, most of that material is the development of the technology around being a good reader. Many of the exercises are easily done in front of a screen, your computer screen, and we would spend a lot of our time actually doing the exercise in class with each other at the time. So for instance, if I said, okay, everyone put both of their feet on the floor so that you have a 90 degree with your knees down to the floor, and then put your hands over your eyes, and then move your hands as if you're wiping away your brow. Now, once you've done that, let me know, and I'll give you the next instruction. So the manner of communicating had to do with an at-the-moment experience of practicing an exercise that would be done individually after the class. So that's another method of working with
Absolutely.
The materials.
Yeah. Okay. So
I, for one, have done that exercise now.
You've done which exercise?
Thank you, Harry.
You mean the one for the class tonight?
The one she just gave us.
Oh, the instruction you just gave.
Yes, and he let me know that he had done it, which
is
part of the instruction.
Which is part of this. Let me know when you've done it, etc. Okay. So where are we now?
That's what you wanted, but that's what I heard.
Yes, and that's exactly what I wanted, because I want to indicate that when we work as a group, we modify everything we do in order to be a group. So whatever works, and sometimes the testing of that, like David has decades of running the materials from the books of EJ in a weekly meeting, and sometimes, you know, putting out material ahead of time and, you know, sharing a lot. And that technology is one which comes from him, goes to the group, and then comes back to him and goes back and forth like a wave. That's one form, one dynamic of groupness. Another form of dynamic of groupness is the one that I just demonstrated, which Harry was the other part of that dynamic, which was, in present time, try this and let me know in present time that you have done it. So that's another.
And that way, you know what that I have received the communication, and we are in agreement. Communication is the result you get.
There you go.
Exactly. Very well put.
And Harry, when you receive a communication, that is an instruction. Yeah. When you receive a communication that is an instruction or a suggestion about an exercise, do you do anything in particular, a reference to how you're going to proceed? And I'm asking this so you can be my setup man.
I'm not sure I understand your question right now. I just do it as directly as I understood you, and I gave you feedback so that you would know the result you got.
Yes, so it's immediate.
Yes, as soon as possible.
And the exercise instruction that David gave last week, how was that different from what I just did?
He did not ask for feedback.
Correct. That's right. Okay.
Guess what my next question is going to be, Harry?
I better be careful.
That's right.
No. The next question. Give him the next question. I can hardly contain myself.
So, actually, I was going to ask a different thing than feedback, and that was, so did anybody do the exercise, and should you have done it, would you like to talk about it or share, pull your notes out, your reporter's notes. You can put your little reporter's hat on and your little press badge and read from your notebooks if you happen to have done that.
I have already done so. And I would like to have other people participate other than just me. But I will be happy to do so at any time you wish.
I'm prepared to as well. Also.
Do you want me to respond?
We have a volunteer that has come forth out of the great crowd for us.
So I'm one of the people that did not understand the exercises given, and I reported that to David when I saw the email. Although I had remembered the conversation, I didn't get it in the right context. So the exercise that I did was I read the first 10 pages, and I wrote down each chapter, and the exercise that I understood was delineated by the chapter. And then since I didn't remember any instruction that I had to do any of those exercises, I didn't do them, although one of them I'm very familiar with and I sometimes do naturally.
Which one would that be?
Well, that's the one from chapter 2, and it's about not using possessive nouns and pronouns and to try to break the identification with the machine. So you refer to the machine as it, not I. And what I wrote down is it said you're redirecting the unconscious possessive identification suggested by language.
The first paragraph of that chapter is very interesting because it says, I is the only discernible something which is not material. I is here now. I is not it. Whenever we say I, when we really mean it, we must find a way to punish our sleep. It wants a glass of Armagnac, not I. I was blown away by that. It's what a distinction, you know, what an interesting distinction. It's the only non-material thing in all this stuff that we're talking about. Interesting. Thank you, Marvette. So you didn't, you wrote down exercise, you didn't do any of the exercise. So your, what you did was your evidentiary material is, I wrote down these exercises, right? Something like that.
Yeah, because I didn't remember the instruction. I had to carry all these different exercises out for, it happened to be four chapters. So I wasn't, and I wouldn't be prepared to be able to do that without some prior agreement.
Good, well put.
Well, yeah, I'd like to add to that that I did not start making notes or reporting, or I haven't actually decided what might be the way I would want to respond. But I did do this reading also, and the first thing that struck me about it was that, as it's stated in the piece that we read last week, these transcripts, these transcriptions are a way of preserving the teachings of the teacher, or let's say the voice, the communication as it came from the teacher. And that it goes from chapter, as I can see just from the first three or four chapters, it doesn't have any record of the taught of the group. In other words, what we're seeing here is that these instructions and talks and exercises were all delivered to a group, and we don't know, but we can presume that that group did these exercises, and they may have even reported or brought the results of them back to the teacher who assigned them those exercises. So it just struck me that one way we could approach this book is to examine or to discuss, even here in these meetings, whether this particular exercise is appropriate for our group or whether it's something we want to experiment with. And we could undertake to do that exercise, just like Marvette said. But, I felt the same way, like, just because I read it, it's not at all the same for me to say, okay, for a week or two, I'm going to try avoiding this possessive in my language and so on. It's quite a different enterprise than saying our entire group, which might be 15 or 20 or 25 people who are sitting here tonight, that we're going to do this as an activity or a process that we're all doing at the same time, which is, I think, what you've been speaking about last week.
Right.
That the groupness of the group seems to me that to do a group exercise, it has to be done by the group and not just by me or Marvette.
What do you got over there?
Hey, I'd like to...
Hang on one second, Soham.
Pippi
says... That is Silverdale.
I read...
Yeah. Oh, hey, Silverdale, hi.
Hey there.
Okay.
Pippi says, I read the 10 pages. I found them to be fairly wildly all over the map. I am better at some than others. And she says, I am not it. Work magnet makes very good sense to me and seems indicative of a real group, that it would attract real students. Sans advertisement and more so indicates for the power of a group.
Thank you. Good. Good comments. Silverdale.
Listen, I'm going to throw a huge curveball into the group. So brace yourself.
Thank you.
First of all, I'll say that I just kind of remember ending last week with the recommendation or suggestion that we read the first 10 pages of the book. And so that's what I did. I read the first 10 pages of the book. Now, Dave, I'm going to repeat the conversation, a part of the conversation that you and Harry and I had a week ago.
Yep.
When we were discussing what exactly is meant by work of groups. And I began by
remembering that oh, a month or two ago when we were going through the book, the invocation of presence, perhaps the people listening tonight will recall chapter 11 in which G is down there in an invocation, and W is at the top of the stairs. I'll just read it very quickly. At an early morning hour, W stormed into the candlelit chamber in which G had been working with some of his more intimate pupils, standing on the top of the top step, towering over everyone seated in the sunken chamber. W demanded a meeting of the work group. And we had, as we went through that material, began by taking it kind of literally. So we imagined that G was actually in an invocation. W appears and kind of disrupts the group. And my suggestion was, should we take this literally as an event that actually happened and is now being archived or written down? Or should we take it as a kind of a metaphor for a dynamic that happens within us? We're settling down into the invocation of our presence quietly, and suddenly we're disturbed by some event on the outside. Somebody walks into the room or yells at us, and suddenly the invocation of our presence has been disrupted by perhaps one other part of our own personality, or perhaps by the involvement of an exterior force that catches us unexpectedly, and suddenly our invocation is disrupted. Okay, so using that as an illustration of what I want to say tonight regarding work of groups, yes, we are all together here tonight working together as a group in order to become better informed of the dynamics that arise when such a diverse group of people gather together. My curveball is this. Could we understand work of groups as to be simply a indication of how we work within ourselves and the different aspects within ourselves in order to better inform and support and develop different parts of ourselves so that collectively those different parts of ourselves, which are different groups that are working together under the direction of a teacher, and that teacher happens to be us, ourselves. We ourselves are the teacher, and I think that's, you know, reflected in the fact that every one of us participating tonight has a magnetic center, that magnetic center of a wish and a desire to activate the Voyager within ourselves, or the wish of many parts of ourselves to become more awake or to awaken from our sleep. And so we ourselves individually are the teacher that is referred to in all of these different talks. And as we begin to self-examine or self-reflect or self-meditate, we discover different parts of ourselves that actually we're trying to form into individual groups that collectively are taught and educated and bring about the work on self. Practical work on self. Now, having said that, and I don't want to eat up a whole lot more time here, but if we go through these first 10 pages within that kind of a framework, we discover that all this material is extremely informative in terms of providing the teacher, which is ourself, with different aspects of how this practical work on self within the groups within ourselves actually takes place, and it illuminates it within that regard. So anyway, I'll just stop right there. I think I've given you all the gist of my particular perspective.
David, I would like to add something to that, if I might.
Sure.
I wrote here in my my homework assignment, I said I wanted to add something to the structure that Silverdale gave us last week when he talked about just what he got through mentioning, and I have written down an exercise for that particular chapter, just like Marvette did, for all the different parts of our personalities to find everybody to investigate what they are. You may have to talk to other people to get some honest input on this, and then to write them all down and find out which ones are running the show from day to day. And parts modeling, this is called in neurolinguistics, and lots of psychologists have names for it since Freud.
Not again. Harry?
Pardon?
We said Marvette would like you to repeat, back up a little bit and just slow down a little bit. She was having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. Let me move my little mic here.
Okay.
The model of parts interacting, creating all the little eyes with which we're all familiar, most of which we do not like, that seem to be antithetical to the work, but without which we would have no friction. It would be very helpful to enumerate. And I think an investigation, an exercise of writing those down as best we can understand them, I would recommend talking to your wife or girlfriend or significant other to find out what you've left out, because I can assure you, you will. And then find out how our internal structure resembles W coming down from the top of the stairs and jumping on everybody. I mean, I think Silverdale's spot on. And that's the group that we should start with, is each one of our internal groups, before we start talking about how we're going to work together as a multiplicity, as a unity.
Okay.
That's all.
I want you to remember that I always like to read the chapters from the last paragraph in reverse to the first. And so my take this last week of this assignment, first of all, I only read the first four pages. And then I got involved with my conversation internally about what manner I would present my findings.
Okay.
And after I got done with being involved with myself, I recalled that I had understood the assignment to include the aspect that we had finished the previous book with, the invocation of presence exercise to be done knowing when other people were also going to be doing it. And I took that as my starting point. And for the rest of the week, what I noticed, and I've confirmed it by asking others, was the synchronicity level has gone
right
up about fivefold. So for me, what the conversation was if you work in group, for group, with group, where does your attention need to be in order for that linkage to intensify? And so that's how I approached my reportage, and the results were, and I've done confirming this with Tamara, who's not usually able to participate at the time with us. She reads later. And my partner, Dick, who's not interacting in these particular chambers, but of course, you know, provides the engine for all the stuff that EJ does in Second Life. So at this point, I would say, for me, the exercise was an inspiration of continuing to hold, in addition to the exact expression of the exercise, the content, the environment in which it's being done is a shared, multi-personal, multi-group endeavor. And that's how I proceeded. So I went from what Silverdale said, which was it is of the one, us, to it is of the us one. So that's where I went.
Go ahead, Dan.
Let's see. More from Piff. Data Absolute has a great punchline and burning bridges.
Yeah. Wow.
Go for it. Interesting. It takes the whole self in. Grant says, I received the book, think that I can find where I put it, and I'm ready to go. Jennifer Gott says hello and says, I didn't do my homework, but I have a group.
You do.
Mm-hmm. And then, Grocky says, just received the book today courtesy of Harry. Thank you, Harry. Art of NGF says, it seems to me that the self-referential metaphor only becomes useful when engaged in actual experience, as in working with groups, and then the internal effect takes place in relation, rather than taking the material as metaphor from the beginning and missing the actuality of the possible experiences. And then adds, the reason for working in groups is to get a grasp on the internal workings, which otherwise remain hidden from the individual. And then Vedera has written, chapter one is the importance of not publicly promoting the group, but acting as a magnet, effort on the part of new members, public presentations to direct energy. Chapter two, using it rather than I. Chapter three, write pages of everything you do not know. Chapter four, burning bridges to organic destinies. And Jenny Gott says, we have friction, and some who think they know what we do, some think they are teacher, but we have no leader, no teacher. We are all teachers.
Thank you.
Good comment.
One more from Piff. Regarding Silverdale and yes to NGF, skillful shock may at some interval need come from outside, then one might become able to create one's own shocks, the very definition of a master, in my opinion.
So thank you so much, Dan, for doing that and the comments. I wanted to take a couple of minutes and tour through my reading of the first 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
I read the first 10 pages thinking that I was going to report back to the group what happened when I was reading the first 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I didn't delineate the exercises as Marvette did, I did note them down, Marvette. Be interesting to compare our lists at some point. I wrote them down in the book. I have, I'm an amateur bibliophile. I love books. And so whenever I'm doing an exercise like this, I always get an extra copy because, I don't know if you can see it, but I make extensive notes in the book, which is the worst thing a lover of books should be doing. But that's nevertheless what I did. So I started this. I read all 10 pages. And I started out, and if we read chapter 1 again carefully, in a sense, it describes precisely what a group is. He starts out, we can bring new candidates for work, big, to a group just by emanation of force resulting from, listen to this, efforts of a group to work on themselves and for one another. So the work, when you do certain work and you're doing the work of the work, like for instance, the God engine is taking a new level, and you might be one of the builders within that, and in that you'll be doing a certain work, and that work together starts to create group emanation. We talked about emanation at some length in practical in invocation of presence,
mm-hmm.
and here it is again, and the author is saying to us, you know what? That's how you attract people. And as Tiffy was telling us, it's the magnetic center of what this group is that brings us to it. Why? It's nothing external. It's because we love the work and we want to be close to it. So when I wrote down this, I was writing all these notes real quick and stuff, and I said, this is group work, I wrote. Exciting and hopeful I was when I read that we could be in such a place. And then I wrote down that he is saying efforts of a group, not individual efforts only. We do work, and we see the fruits of our efforts. And so then I was reading the paragraph on the next page, and it says, groups should not concern themselves with public promotion, as Pippi was saying, and Vidura, it's not how you do it. And it reminded me of a quote from Groucho Marx, where he says, I don't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member. And I read through that, I had to remember kind of like a little vague memory of that, and I thought, I'm going to go look it up, what the actual source of that was for the group,
mm-hmm.
to have them so that the group had mm-hmm. that knowledge. It was his resignation from the Friars Club, actually a number of stories, but he didn't enjoy being part of a club like that. And that's how he resigned, and they says, well, why did you resign? And this was his answer. Isn't that fun? And so because I was reading this for the group, I was compelled to research that a little extra. You know what I mean? And some activities have the effect of reversing magnetic center. Well, whoops, we should know what that is. We should remember that as we go through our voyage here. And there are many things. I have many, many, many notes like that as I go through these pages. And so I read it with the idea that I was going to come here and be asked, what happened when you read it? And it's because the filter I had on as I was reading it is what's important to our group? What's important? What should I gather that I want to bring back to the group for the sake of? So it was very interesting to read in that manner. And I have other examples as we go on to the next 10 pages and stuff. And Vidura and Pippi, I think, helped summarize some of these things very nicely for us. But as we get to the end of the hour here, I was wondering what you thought we should do next week. And now that we know a little bit about how to communicate, what we want to communicate, what should our exercise of next week be? We could go into these and do some of the exercises that are in pages 1 through 10. Some of them are very difficult exercises. I was going to do the exercise on make a list of what you didn't know, but I didn't know how to get started.
That would be the first thing on your list.
Go for it, Dave.
We have several comments. So Pianjo says, where can people who have not had time or opportunity to participate offer their comments? Where can they post their ideas? And Silverdale says, on Wings of Chaos, under Work of Groups.
That link's in the email.
And he says, just one site, it is set up, though not much there at the moment. And I looked, and I didn't see a place to put comments. It is there? Okay.
I'll double check tonight.
Okay. And then Jennifer Gott says, I need the book.
He needs the book. Ivan can you communicate with her and sell her?
Okay. And also, before I just wanted to mention that, did Sohan have something to say that I keep interrupting, or?
That was my impression.
Okay.
So maybe we should.
So I'll hang up.
You forgot your book tonight.
No. He's not going to.
He's not going to.
No, let's
just. Let's just move on.
No, let's just.
Sohan, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, I didn't have anything to add. I have some other points, but I think they're a bit different from all the points that were just stated on the group.
Okay.
So first of all, I like the idea of making a list of things that we do not know. But I just want to stress on one point here. I think we are missing a few details. We are taking things on a very superficial manner. For example, here in this particular exercise, it says that write a list of everything you do not know, and then Q says, do you remember details or whole subject? Or do you mean details or whole subjects? When G says, I mean everything about which you know nothing whatever. So the list cannot include things that you know even a bit about. It has to be a list of things that you know nothing whatever. And so there are these details which I feel are more important than the exercise itself.
Okay.
Another point is
suggesting to me something about next week, but go ahead.
So to come back to today's, some of the points, one of the points that I really liked was to make a list, to just observe what were the active eyes of that particular day. And I think that was pretty nice. The only thing I want to add to that is, again, we should go into the detail. For example, what an eye actually is and how an eye forms. Very biologically speaking, because all of this is biology. It's all material. None of this is metaphysical. It just varies in the frequency of each of these material properties. And so I think along with making note about what eyes were active during that day, we should also try and investigate what the process of the formation of an eye is as a group, of course, because there are some who I'm sure know already the whole process behind the formation of an eye, but some people don't. So that's something that I'm really interested in. And
okay.
I just had a couple of questions. So the way I did this exercise was I read each chapter, and I made maybe a question in each chapter, maybe for myself to think about and maybe ask the group. I just wasn't sure how this session was going to go. So basically that's the exercise that I did, yeah. But I think it's...
We were hoping you were going to be certain about how it was going to go.
I still feel that we should start with making a set of rules for the next week.
I know. We go ahead. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Paola.
Because the chapter 9 of The Lost Work, if I'm not wrong, that was very, very interesting to read. And I think we need rules.
He thinks we need rules, and he's referring to chapter 9 of the Lost Works, and that is, it's called On Group Work, and that has a list of many, many, many aspects of group work and some rules that you should exercise as part of a group. But we're not going to quite get into that.
Well, the other rule we have is that we're supposed to finish at 8, and we have one other person we're going to
hear
from.
We have one other person, and I have to say something about an exercise, so we're going to be 5 minutes late, everybody. Go ahead, Maya.
I want to say that I read the 10 pages, and as I was doing the exercise, reading them, I started thinking about how that can be, how could I serve the group when we come back and share the experiences. And hearing all this, now I think I know what it is today, and it's that for me all these chapters have one thing in common, and it's that they are somehow setting the stage, and like in a way all are referring to the idea of become aware that you are not, you cannot know anything, everything, and that for work of groups, you need to become flexible with that and open to that idea of this is something that is probably not what you used to do always, what your automaticity will do, but it's about becoming aware of a new way of proceeding, of thinking and interacting.
Thank you. Good, good, good. So here's a suggestion, and I usually am fairly good at ending right at 8 o'clock because people have other things to do, and on the East Coast it's quite late. So I try to end, but we're going to go over a couple of minutes. And so as we get our sea legs, as they say, as we get used to working with this volume, I'd like to suggest go back over those first 10 pages. I think there's 8 or 9 exercises. Sohan, for himself, he said, well, I got a question, a central question at each. So why doesn't everybody go through, find out what exercises you would like to do, and each person do whatever that exercise is and bring the results of that exercise back. For instance, if you look at chapter 4, which is the burning bridges thing, which you may not want to read chapter 4, actually, or just tear it out of your book. It's a difficult chapter. It's just one bloody page long. It's something about burning your bridges. And so I wrote down, whoa, and I said, what are some examples of doing that? And that would be an exercise that somebody could take up. Maybe you'd like to do that particular exercise. So the exercise for next week is to read the first 10 pages,
four chapters,
and find an exercise that you would like to do. Do that exercise and bring the fruits of that effort back to this group. And we'll weave together whatever we find. Because, as Morvette said, maybe we don't have the ability to do all the exercises, each of us, but maybe as a group, we can do all the exercises. How do you like them eggs, huh?
Well, I usually
my
eggs rolling up in the air when a juggler is doing a magic trick and they turn 7 into 9 and 9 into 3 and 3 into 1.
There you go.
So for this week, I would like to say, of the 7 individuals that are sitting in this chamber,
yes,
and the 19 that are sitting in the other chambers,
yes,
let us recall that our group consciousness is something that we can actually borrow from the group and contribute toward the group. So if you feel a little lack of necessity or a little extra, either way, put it in the pot and we stir it all together.
So we're making a stew, right? Is that what you're saying?
You got it.
We're making a stew. You got a big pot and it's heating up a little bit here, kiddos.
Turn it up.
you're going to just sit, and we'll see what comes out of it and how savory it is. And we got some really good sauce going on here. So, Dan?
Some more comments in the chat. So Bernie LaPlante suggests, what about an exercise that lists our reactions to the writings of the chapters?
Sounds like he has his exercise for next week. Right?
Sounds good, Bernie.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Tiff would like you to put her on the your email list, and I'll give you her email after the show.
Thank you.
Tiff says, yes, it is all material, except as EJ noted, the eye. Great observation. It still feels.
Yes.
And then, oh. Thanks, Paula, for her contribution. And Grant has put in, excellent, read the first 10 pages and do one of the exercises, report back to group.
Yeah, the exercise, it may not say, here is an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that in chapter 4. Here's the exercise about burning bridges. I'm making that up. It says, burn bridges. Well, what are some examples? How would you go about that? I might burn a bridge this week. Thank you, Dan, for helping us out there, and thank everybody for coming this evening. And we're going to go ahead and say that's it for this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 o'clock.
Good night.
Thank you, Grant.
Grant, thank you.
Acknowledging the exercise and for giving it to us. Thank you. That was step one. Yay! We did one of the things that we said, what is a group?
Good
Yay.
Work, everybody. And we'll continue to do that. Good night. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.